This is the Hour of the Truth. The Hour of Truth. And welcome, everybody, to the Hour of Truth. This is so sweet. You ever do something that you just knew you were going to live to regret? You did something that not only were you going to live to regret it, but you had you were suspect in the beginning about whether it was the right thing to do or not, right? I am guilty of such said thing. I knew better last week than to let Scott Stevens touch my computer. And I did it anyway. And, you know, this thing's just been one bug-infested nightmare ever since. And I knew going into it that this was probably a bad move.
Well, Paul, there was all, I mean, you asked that question. You said, was there anything that you ever, you knew or even regret doing? There's been so many of those that I did, knew and I was going to regret doing it. However, I did not question if it was the right thing or not. I knew it wasn't.
You didn't what? I'm sitting here trying to communicate with the keyboard and the IM that got sent this way.
But there has been those times where you didn't know if it was the right thing or not.
Well, you would think that we'd know better. Davey put in the chat that you never know what's going to happen when Scott touches your computer. That is absolutely true.
Scott Bishop. Scott Stevens. Bueller. Bueller.
Anybody.
I tell you what, if there was any pretense about us taking ourselves seriously, is you just got blown away right in front of everybody too, right? Talking about it's James, you were talking about John chapter 8 and
yeah,
the demonstration that you know what Jesus was about was grace and mercy, and he had absolutely no interest in condemning that woman. But the Pharisees, scribes, and the Pharisees that brought the woman to him were spoiling for a fight.
Absolutely.
And they got one. But
it was just a perfect example of the gospel, you know, because he was the only one that was just in casting the stone, and yet he only extended grace to her.
Absolutely.
And we're Jesus to do likewise.
Amen.
Jesus lifted up his head and says, "Where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" And she said, "No, Lord. No man, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." I didn't come here to condemn you. That's what we were reading out of chapter 12. And he was about his father's business, and his father's business was to bring reconcile man unto himself again.
It reminds me of that scripture in the where Jesus, he goes, you know, when the Samaritans wouldn't accept him because his face was to go to Jerusalem, and they said, "Should we send fire from heaven like Elijah did?" And he goes, you know not what manner of spirit you speak of. You know, I didn't come to destroy men's lives, but to save."
Do you see what Gail put in, Paul?
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
There's no way for me to check what people are hearing without screwing up the making. If I turned up the monitor here, it would be a third time everybody'd be. And listen, the first two times weren't that good. I'm just saying. I don't have any speakers live, so it's fine here, according to Joan. I assume that's Joan. So I'm going to assume that it is working. Scott Stevens. Oh, me. So it's you, Gail. It's you, Gail. Jesus says, we were in verse 11 of chapter 8. We moved to chapter to verse 12. And spake Jesus again unto them, the Pharisees, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, they're spoiling for a fight, and he's speaking that which the Father gave him to speak, and what he's saying is giving them ammo in their minds. I mean, because that's a pretty bold statement to make. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. That herein lies the fatal flaw in all of us. Our default mechanism is to judge after the flesh. And they really didn't do anything to fix any of that, their carnal judgment. They just assumed that it was more reliable because they were well studied, and you know, they had their letters of accreditation. But that doesn't make your ability to see things spiritually work. And the only thing they see or understand is natural. So their resistance to what Jesus is saying is, you know, like a brick wall. There's a brick wall between truth and where they're standing. And the thing is, they know who Jesus is. That's what Nicodemus told him in John chapter 3, wasn't it?
Sure was.
Boy, you're all awful quiet all of a sudden. I had all this help on Skype when nothing was working. Now nobody's talking to me.
Well, I will say that, you know, judging, my God, that is a hard one to get around. It does just come naturally because we make judgments all day long about everything.
Yep.
It's easy to judge one another in the midst of all that.
The basis,
and obviously it's wrong because Jesus doesn't even do it.
The basis for making that work is the first invalid judgment we make is that we presume we're all right. We don't have this problem. This is just your stupidity. This is your ignorance. This is you not meeting the mark.
You're absolutely right. I didn't even think of that. But there is the first... We first of all, judge that we are something.
That's right. So, as... Where did I leave off at? And if I judge, my judgment is true. Verse 16, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. Okay. Now, his his claim to the oneness with the Father thing here is fixing to irritate the jiggers out of the Pharisees. It's also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bears witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me. Then said they to him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, You neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. I'd say he's equal to the task here. He's not giving any ground, is he?
No.
And there again, his testimony is that he only said what the Father gave him to say. So the argument that's commencing to happen here, fixing to get around to happening here, is they're arguing with God, the Father. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. He's doing this inside the temple with everybody there to watch. Let's see. Then Jesus said unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are this world, I am not of this world. Now, what was his testimony about his disciples? You go over to John chapter 17. They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world.
Well, there's a lot of things that are coming to my mind, actually, in that. Because what you have was Jesus came and did that which the Father told him to do. Say and speak those things he told him to speak. And what you have as well is when... You know what now what we're supposed to be carrying out? What Jesus is telling us to speak.
Right.
We're here as his body to say what the Father speaks to us. Now, I remember back in the conference where David was talking about, and don't worry about, you know, what they're going to do to you, but it's going to be in that hour that it's your Father that's going to speak and give you that which to say. So, I mean, what you see is a type and shadow. Jesus came here and fulfilled the will of the Father. Perfect.
Yep.
And what you have is, we are his body. You know, it says, any man who come after me. And that coming after him, you know, shall take up his cross and follow me. That coming after is coming in his stead. I mean, us as a church, that's what we're supposed to be doing. So in the same sense as the Father sent Jesus, the same sense that the Jesus sent the 11, and the same the sense that the 11 sent out, and the 11, including Paul, were sent out, and it goes on down. And that is still happening today. There's still apostles that are carrying Jesus' word. And we as his body are partaking of that anointing, Jesus' anointing, which we should be the ones carrying out his word. And what you have there, though, is also we want to be diligently seeking that we're doing just that. But when we do carry out his word, sometimes it looks like this. Sometimes it looks like the Pharisees coming against us. Since people are going to get offended. And also some people are going to receive the gospel. Because you had the woman who received the gospel, and then you had the Pharisees turn around and reject him. Right. The key thing for us is keeping ourselves, is to humble ourselves, to find out what it is that Father's telling us to do.
You'll see them picking sides pretty quick, too.
Yep.
When you're speaking the words that the Father has given you.
And what does he say? He says, look, I haven't came to bring peace, but a sword. A father against his mother. A father against his son, and son against his father, mother-in-law against his daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law.
Right.
Because there's people, when he comes and brings the truth, there, and when you come and bring the truth, there's going to be a separation of people picking which side they're going to want to fall on. So there's a lot of interesting things there. And when you are doing speaking that which the Father has given you to speak, and I say that if that's what you're doing, because quite frankly, I mean, there's a lot of times we are getting hammered down because it wasn't what the Father is, it's our own fault. You know, so I mean, I want to clarify that, but just as he says, look, it's not you that they reject, it's me. When it is what the Lord has given you to do, say and speak.
Right.
I didn't know if that's where you were going with that. Oh, it came to my mind.
You did real well. So you said in there, you're from beneath, I am from above. You're this world, I am not. He's showing the separation between that exists. And we all have that separation until we receive Jesus. I said, therefore, unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall. And this is written, let me go back. I said, therefore, unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am, he is in italics. I am the great I am sent you. Right?
Amen.
Jesus is pouring water on the fire here. This is a claim that goes all the way back to... Who is it? Moses?
I thought it was...
Or Abraham?
You know, I thought it was Jacob when he wrestled. No, it wasn't Jacob. No, it might have been Moses. Yeah, tell him the great what I am. I think it might have been Moses. I'm not sure. I don't know. I should have just shut up.
You just tell him I am.
Yeah, sent you.
And that's really what's going on here. You shall die in your sins. If you believe not that I am he, the Father and I are one. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. Unless you believe that I am, you're going to die in your sins. That's a pretty desperate declaration that's been made, and they still don't receive it.
Yeah, he's shown them the way out of it, yeah. Right there.
It was such an offense unto them.
You think they took offense? Yeah, they did.
It was. I mean, it was such an offense. Here is he. He's not. I mean, what? They took such an offense. I mean, here he is as a carpenter's son,
right?
Coming unto them. Here he is not going. You sinners, you sinners, you're sinners, but offering grace and mercy. Here he's going everything against the way that the Pharisees seek, and it's offense to them. And here there he is, standing as a man before him in the flesh.
Yep.
It was just such an offense to them.
Absolutely, and...
I mean, he didn't come down on a freaking 757. He didn't come down in white glowing in a cloud from heaven. And
no, they'd have been perfectly fine with him if he'd been doing that.
Oh, yeah, and with white garment, picked out better.
No, I mean with the condemning part. You sinners,
yeah.
You dirty, rotten sinners, oh, yeah, adulterers, whoremongers. They'd been perfectly willing to accept him.
What I keep thinking is it goes back to the there is no way to the Father except by Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Scott's got the iPad and he's looking up to find where it is when he said, I am, and his first thought is that it's in Moses. It was with Moses.
Then they said unto him, verse 25, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I haven't changed my mind. I haven't changed my declaration to you. I've been telling you how it is from the first time I talked to you. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Yeah, Steve put in the chat that John 8:58, and this is part of this dialogue. And he uses the I am again. Before Abraham was, I am. And that's, you know, he is saying the things that are supposed to trip their receptors.
And the whole point is he's saying, look, if you don't receive me, you're not receiving the Father.
These are the words of life, and that's supposed to set their life switch on.
Amen.
And instead, they want to take offense at it.
Well, because, Paul, it goes against everything they were brought up into. About comparing themselves. They judge after the flesh is what he hit them right on the rib. They judge themselves, comparing themselves among themselves.
Right.
They list the rules and how perfect.
Comparing and measuring and have you moved from grace again back into the law? The works. Works righteousness, self-righteousness. Stuff you can measure and makes you feel good.
Yeah, I mean, that law, they just use that to build themselves up, to make themselves look good, to make themselves think they're good. But he's coming and telling them, unless you believe on me.
If you're going to judge by appearances, then you better judge apparently right. you better be looking at Jesus when you're making that judgment.
Amen.
You don't stand a chance.
Well, I do have that now. That scripture is in Exodus 3:14, where he mentions I am that I am. And you know, I will say, as far as the Pharisees, I mean, it's real easy to see on them. Of course, we get in it ourselves often enough. But it's a pride. Pride not only blinds, but it makes one deaf. You can't hear the truth when it's spoken right at you. And you can't see the truth. And they were so lifted up in pride that they were, it was like they were in a cocoon of their own making.
My grandmother used the phrase regularly. I haven't heard too many people use it since. But her phrase was, there is none so blind as he who will not see.
Very true.
By choice. I don't want to see. And, you know, that's...
And that takes me to the scripture of John 3 again. You know, because what is it says? And here's the condemnation. The light has come into the world, but men prefer darkness rather than light.
Right.
I mean, when they seen the truth, when they seen it for what it was, they preferred their own deeds, their own ways.
That's right.
And they were condemning themselves in it. I mean, there he was.
Amen.
To be a freeing thing to them and to the rest of the people. But they preferred their own way, which was the condemning thing. Jesus wasn't condemning them. They were condemning themselves.
Yes, they did, because they preferred their high seats and their praises from the people and, you know, all those niceties that went with being a big shot. They were the big shots of the day.
Yeah, they preferred darkness rather than the true light.
Phil, yeah. The verse after in John 3, you know, verse 19 is what you spoke of, and this is the condemnation that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. The next verse, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. They didn't want to acknowledge that they were wrong. You know, it all came back to pride.
Yeah. And the thing is, that's a freeing thing. And if, I mean, we can take this to a personal level, guys, because, you know, we have that choice. We get that correction. We get that advice that shows our deeds, that they are evil. And we yet have that choice to turn at his reproof, to turn at that correction, to turn. And it's really a freeing thing that we're not bound up in the evil deeds anymore. It's a thing to set you free in. But, I mean, it's on a personal level to us on a daily basis sometimes.
Amen. I would love to sit here and say that I received correction gladly whenever it was given to me, but I'll tell you, the first problem with that is that I was judging completely by the flesh, and so if I couldn't see the logic in what was being said, then I would not receive it. I just almost said I couldn't. I could have. I would not.
Yeah, would not. So, will. Yeah. Well, it's kind of going back to what Paul is saying. I will not. You know? And but yeah, I'm with you, Gail. It's not to shoot. I mean, there's been times of correction where I have taken off. And it wasn't right. And it left me in a bunch of trouble. I praise the Lord for his grace and mercy.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, in the next verse here, he does it again. Then Jesus said unto them, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am.
He.
The he's in italics. It's not there. They added that. I am. And that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. He's doing everything but drawing him a picture. And he may have been doing that when he was bending down and drawing in the dirt.
Who knows?
That's right.
But that lifting up, he's talking about him being lifted up on the cross.
Absolutely.
And when that happened, there was no, let me tell you something, there was no, and darkness, what does the gospel say? That darkness came upon the land. And it was, and then when he had died, didn't the earthquake came? The veil of the temple rent in two? Mm-hmm. And remember the centurion sitting there, oh my gosh, this was the Son of God. So it was no secret.
Yeah. I recall it was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it went dark. So it was pretty apparent to everybody that that was an unusual thing.
Absolutely. And I mean, even to the point, it was one that they knew without a doubt when he was lifted up that he was the Son of God. They knew it beforehand, really, but.
Amen.
And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Ouch. I wish I could come close to being near in the same solar system as that statement.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
All right, next verse.
Yeah. No, nobody apparently wants to comment on that one. Oh, me.
But that's, I will stop here. But that's what we need to be doing. I mean, we really need to be going up, we need to be going before the Lord every day and saying, Lord, what would you have me do? I mean, because, look, guys, if we're to come after him,
and we're His body. And if we're not seeking to please the Father, how is anybody else going to know the gospel? I mean,
well, they won't.
They won't.
Crickets.
And I mean, it's just it's an important thing. Yeah. And it's an important thing. And it's a freeing thing. I mean, we kind of talked about this last week a little bit. How when it becomes, I mean, we get on our own agenda. We get, and we really think, I mean, we're convinced that our agenda, oh man, that's of the Lord. And man, I'm going to hit that thing hard and then everything blows up. And we're like, what the crap? And you know, everything goes long and twisted, but it's actually a freeing thing. And we can get so bound up in our own thing and our own agenda thinking that that's the case. But really, if we just stop and say, Lord, you know what? What would you have me do here? I'm yours. I'm here to glorify you.
Yeah.
Lord, you light that lamp for my feet. Man, because that's important. We really need to humble ourselves every day and throughout the day. Because that obedience to Him is fruitful. Obedience to anything else, your own agenda and all these other things, isn't. But obedience to Him is fruitful.
It's going to be profitable for both to you, for you, and for those who hear.
Amen. Amen. And quite frankly, if we're not doing that, we're not even His disciple. We're not fit to even be His disciple.
That mean.
You know, it's kind of like we come before Him with a plan. We bring the plan, which is more like, not, I want to do this, Lord. It's, if it's all right with you, I'd like to do this. But nevertheless, thy will be done, and mean that. Correct me if it's off. I'll gladly receive that. And Amen. Be in that frame of mind.
Amen. Steve wrote something interesting down here. I don't know how long ago it was and what it applied. Yes, you used to refer to it as to accept it. You would have to believe a lie. I don't know, man. I'm getting confused. You know what? Sorry, guys. Just ignore me. Continue on. I apologize.
Yeah, I'm not sure specifically what he's referring to. Because I had my own issues trying to figure out where I was in the verses here.
But no, yeah, Gail, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's okay to make plans, but have it in pencil. I mean, it's like one of those things where it's like, look, Lord, it's what you would have me do. But be prepared to have the Lord take you and turn you whichever which way.
Amen. Amen.
He said that was referring to Gail's way of looking at correction that she could not see. It was that to believe it, you'd have to accept a lie.
Oh, I got you. I got you.
Oh.
Well, it is so much easier. It really is a big difference. Since I just changed my mind a little bit. I just turned it a little bit in that I could be wrong. In that whoever it is that the Lord's got over me is there to help me. Not to smite me, not to hurt me, but to help me.
Amen.
And that I will just choose to believe them.
Amen. And that's some of the things I was talking about, Gail. I mean, here we actually were very blessed.
Receive sight.
And you receive sight. Amen. And what you have is we're very blessed to have ministers that are willing to stand in the truth for our sake. Regardless if we don't like it or not. What does it say in Proverbs? He goes, faithful are the wounds of a friend.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Because they are going to be honest with you. And they're willing to tell you the truth if it means you hating them for it. So that way you can be free from it and it doesn't kill you. You believe a lie and you go to hell because of that. I mean, they're actually loving you. And that's what, you know, that's what I was talking about this morning, man. Looking at all where the Lord has set up my life and just looking at it from a personal, and it's a gratefulness that came last night where, I mean, I got Paul here. I got my wife. You know, I got Steve. I got you guys that love me.
And it's sometimes, I mean, I'm just looking at the times where I just didn't accept that love and walked off believing a lie instead. And it was just a humbling thing. And Rick, I mean, oh man, Lord, may the Lord bless Rick with putting up with my crap for so long, and Paul, and Davey, and, you know, look, it's just, you know, look at that, it's a humbling thing.
Well, I think one of the things I noticed was that sometime recently, there's just a little bit of a gap, you know, you just see a little light between there, between my flesh, Gail the flesh, and Gail the spirit, so that it's freeing in that I don't have to follow my flesh. I mean, it has been so for a long time, but I didn't realize that. I really had not gotten that separation correctly. And now, it's not as if my flesh still doesn't fall down in spasms and paroxysms every time somebody says something that it doesn't like. But I don't have to agree. And it doesn't have the reins.
Amen.
Most of the time.
Amen. I mean, that's just but that's our choice ever before us. I mean, that's the Lord's freed us from the flesh. I mean, it's still there. We can choose to listen to it. We can choose to listen to the Spirit and be free from it.
Be free from the bondage to the flesh.
Amen.
Well, verse 29, he that sent me is with me. I already did that, didn't I?
Yeah, 30, buddy.
31, yeah, 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. A distinction there between in and on. They believed him. They believed him. And Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. I read that without the right syntax. Then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from bondage to always serve and minister to the flesh. You actually are free to learn how to please me and do it successfully. And they answered him. Now they're still spoiling for a fight. He's been loving here. He keeps telling them who he is, what he is doing, how he is doing it. And they're still spoiling for the fight. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou you should be made free? Now, you know, centurions stand around there. And
what about also that law that they've been serving so diligently?
That's just,
I mean, I'm like, mean. I wouldn't even try to do that, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Well, they served
after
it
the
so
lawyers
diligent.
Got a hold of it and got it, made it completely off, far off fetched from what it was about.
The learning how to continue in this word. The Jews that were hearing him there didn't do it so well.
Yeah, problem that Davey says the problem is that they did not continue in them. I mean, that's a good point.
Anyhow, how can you say then you should be made free? Jesus answered them, I would be real tempted to say, well, so, excuse me then, who is that soldier standing behind you? Is that like the brother-in-law? Well, I mean, what's the deal here? I would be tempted to say that. Jesus didn't. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you're Abraham's seed. I'm sitting here listening to the inflections that Scorby gives this stuff, and I'm sitting here thinking to myself, I'm probably louder than this. I'm not thinking this is a... This is probably... just a little louder than Scorby does it, but...
Yeah, and you know, I really like... kind of something on my mind is one that when he's talking about, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And, you know, David pointed out here, the problem is that they did not continue in them. I mean, didn't Jesus say, those that endure until the end shall be saved? I mean, that's a good point.
That's in Mark.
Yeah, and that's in Mark. And then you also had the seed and the sower, and they became, cometh unfruitful.
That's right.
And the cares in the world, I mean, it's easy. I mean, what in the Galatians, the letter to the Galatians was, who hath bewitched you? You're erring from the truth. Trying to serve the law now. They just faltered. They fell back. And what you see is that Jews had a light to lighten the Gentiles. And when they had a better time receiving the gospel than the Jews, because the Jews were kept getting caught up back in the law. They were trying to serve the law and at the same time have faith in Jesus Christ, and it didn't work. It was one or the other.
No.
And they got caught up into that. I mean, but we got the same thing going on here, and what he's pointing out here is, I say unto whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. I mean, are we going to serve? Are we going to continue in God's word and agree with that and not put off the flesh? Or are we going to start serving, let the curls and the cares of this world bind us up and become servants of sin again? It can happen if you don't continue in his word.
Absolutely. Who the Son sets free shall be free indeed. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. That's as free as it gets. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. You haven't let it in. You haven't made room for it. You haven't wrapped your heart around it. You haven't received it.
They haven't let go of that law yet.
That need to self-justify. That need to have self-righteousness.
Yeah. Pride. Really.
Yeah. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which you have seen with your Father. Ooh. I speak that which I have seen. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. And it is the deeds of Abraham. What were the deeds of Abraham?
Believed God.
That's it.
Believed God and was counted unto him for righteousness.
And if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. All right. Who's it?
I was about to say.
Who's he talking about here? They understood who he's talking about.
He's talking about Satan.
Cain. Cain was whose son?
Satan's son.
That's who he's... They're the descendants of Cain's, what he's saying. They're certainly spiritually Cain's. And their response is, we be not born of fornication. Oh, man, we're Abel's line. Yeah. Nah. No, Abel did what he was told. And God honored a sacrifice. So, that's not how it's going here.
Can't you just envision them with their necks all up stiff and all puffy and chest stuck out?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the very image of pride.
It reminds me of some of the New Testament. I know we got to go. Stay away from, stay away from genealogies and all these things. And this is part of it. They thought they were special. They were the children of Israel. So they thought they were just special. But what they were doing here is Jesus Christ right there before them, the Son of God, and they're rejecting him.
All right, we need to wrap. Thank you, Philip. That was good. And I want to thank Ricky for coming in and saving the day, being prompt and Johnny on the spot to help us get this thing up and going. I appreciate his help. And till next time, we're out of here. God bless. May God bless everybody.
May the Lord bless everybody.
God bless everybody.